Today is the third Sunday after Easter. And we have a few announcements. There will be blessings of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. There will not be any benediction this evening. On Monday, tomorrow, Mass will be at 8:30 a.m., followed by the cleaning of the chapel in the hall. And this Saturday, we'll be having catechism classes, and this will be after the 8:30 Mass. There are some feasts this week, and we do want to mention one of them to you, and that is the feast on Saturday, Feast of St. George. This is only a commemoration, actually, but some places, for many years, this was a holy day of obligation because this saint was so popular. Just tell you a little bit about him, just a little bit. He was a soldier under the Emperor Diocletian. So this, around the year 300, this was the greatest of all the persecutions, Emperor Diocletian. And St. George was a soldier in Nicomedia. So this is a place, city, near present-day Istanbul. This is in Turkey, present-day Turkey. And of course, this greatest of all persecutions, St. George was a Catholic, and so he puts down his armor and his weapons, and he goes right up to the emperor, Diocletian, and he rebukes him for killing and persecuting the Catholics. Basically, just Catholics at this time. Well, he knew what the result would be, so the St. George was imprisoned. He was given the opportunity to deny his faith before he was tortured. He refused. He was tortured. He would not deny his faith at all. And then he was beheaded. So why was St. George, why has St. George always for centuries been such a great popular saint? Because there were other martyrs who must have suffered at least as much as St. George did, just as bravely. It wasn't because primarily of his, wasn't popular primarily because of his martyrdom, or his, even the fact that he stood up to the emperor face to face. It was because after that, until almost modern times, whenever the Catholics would go into battle, almost every time St. George would appear to the soldiers and encourage them in battle and help them win the battle. And especially did he do this against the Mohammedans. Battle after battle, St. George would appear either to the general or to some of the soldiers or to the whole army. Sometimes he would appear. And this is the reason why St. George is so popular for so long, because of his skill in battle as a saint appearing to the soldiers and giving them courage. Epistle for today's Mass is taken from the first epistle of St. Peter. Beloved, I exhort you as strangers and pilgrims to abstain from carnal desires which war against the soul. Behave yourselves honorably among the pagans, that whereas they slander you as evildoers, they may, through observing you, by reason of your good works, glorify God in the day of visitation. Be subject, therefore, to every human creature for God's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as sent through him for vengeance on evildoers and for the praise of the good. For such is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Live as free men, yet not using your freedom as a cloak for malice, but as servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters in all fear, not only to the good and moderate, but also to the severe. This is indeed a grace in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the gospel. Holy Gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. John, chapter 16, verses 16 to 22. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "A little while, and you shall see me no longer, and again a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father." Some of his disciples, therefore, said to one another, "What is this he says to us, 'A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me, and I go to the Father'?" They kept saying, therefore, "What is this little while of which he speaks?" We do not know what he is saying. But Jesus knew that they wished to ask him, and he said to them, "You inquire about this among yourselves, because I said, 'A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me.' Amen, 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 I say to you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman about to give birth has sorrow, because her hour has come. But when she has brought forth the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for her joy that a man is born into the world. And you, therefore, have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no one shall take from you." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. First of all, just to remind you about these words of Christ. Probably you all remember, but he said these words to his apostle the night before he died. So this is on Holy Thursday he said these words. And so, "A little while, and you shall not see me." That's his death. A few hours. So that really was a little while. And then he says, "And again a little while, and you shall see me." Resurrection. But then he refers to his ascension. Because he's talking about going to the Father. And he's talking about no one will be able to take your joy from you. So he's talking about first his death, and then he's talking about their death. And he refers to it as a little while, because what is a lifetime compared to eternity? And so I mention this to you because it's important for us to keep this in mind. Our life is very, very short. Even if we know many people have lived to be 100, that's 100 years is nothing compared to eternity. And that's what our Lord and Savior is saying to his apostles. Your life is just a very, very short time and then no one will be able to take your joy from you. Now we keep this epistle and gospel book open because we want to explain a few things about the epistle from our Holy Father, the Pope, first Pope. So many years ago that St. Peter wrote these words to us, but he did write them to you and me. Many of them do not seem that they apply to us, but they do, because it was the Holy Ghost writing them through St. Peter for everybody, not just to these people who lived at this time. So St. Peter and the Holy Ghost say, I exhort you as strangers and pilgrims, strangers to this world. That's what we are. It's another way of saying pilgrims. We're just pilgrims because pilgrims are going to the place of pilgrimage. And so they don't stop on the way. They make their journey to get to that place of pilgrimage, to their home. That's heaven. Our pilgrimage is to heaven, our home. We don't belong here on earth. So we really are, we should be strangers to this world. I exhort you to abstain from carnal desires which war against the soul. Behave yourselves honorably among the pagans. And of course, who is not surrounded by pagans as much as we are? Pagans all around us, including so-called Christians that we see every day, who live as pagans, even many so-called Catholics, as you know. That whereas they slander you as evildoers, they may, through observing you by reason of your good works, glorify God in the day of visitation. By the day of visitation, he means when they receive the grace themselves of conversion. That may not be tomorrow. That may be on their deathbed. Maybe your good example will give many people the grace to embrace the truth on their deathbed. Because we have mentioned to you before that the saints believed that all people, of course we believe this too, all people are given the opportunity to embrace the true faith. Even St. Thomas said that. St. Thomas Aquinas. Everyone, even those who have never heard of Christianity during their entire life, are given the opportunity to embrace the true faith on before they die, before their soul leaves their body. Even those who are Christians in the state of sin are given the grace of conversion on their deathbed. That doesn't mean that they receive that grace with open arms, but they are given the opportunity to make an act of contrition. This is what the saints believed, and so we believe it. And so St. Peter is saying, on the day of their visitation, when they receive the grace of conversion, whether it be now or on their deathbed, they might remember you. And that might be of assistance to them. And not only because of your good example, but because of the graces that you have won for them through your practice of virtue. We presume that you pray for your friends, your enemies, don't you? When you perform a good work, are you hopefully not trying to win for your neighbors the graces they need to save their souls? This is what St. Peter is telling us. Be subject, therefore, to every human creature for God's sake. Now, this is to us for certain. Be subject to every human creature for God's sake. So he just said, be subject to your neighbor, every one of them, for the sake of God, to win a grace for them. He says, be subject to the king, to the governors. This is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Now, what does he mean by this? Basically, he's talking here about obedience. Obedience is one of the most beautiful of all the virtues. We, as religious, as priests, practice obedience. How often are you given the chance to practice this beautiful virtue? Every time you come in contact with anyone, you can be obedient. Because how many superiors do you have to be obedient to? And yet, we're expected, all of us, you and us, we're all expected to practice the virtues, and especially this great virtue, obedience. By trying to accommodate your neighbor. Whatever might be his wishes, you try to fulfill them. Now, we can give you examples of this. How many times this morning did you have an opportunity to practice this virtue of obedience when someone cut in front of you on the road? See this in road rage. People can't stand having their will thwarted in any way whatsoever. Always, the saints tell us, whenever you have an opportunity to do good, do it. Now, we will give you a beautiful example of the practice of obedience, and that is our Father Superior. How many people does he have to be obedient to? Basically, no one, because he has no one above him who ever gives him orders that he can obey in any significant fashion. So he practices obedience with us. He tries to fulfill our every wish. He's kind to us, his inferiors, his subjects. Practices obedience all day long by his kindness to us. And you can do exactly the same thing. Live as free men. What does St. Peter mean by free men? Live as free men. He's not referring to the freedom that modern-day society likes to say that we are possessed of, especially here in our great country. Everyone's supposed to be free in our country, aren't we? What people usually refer to very often, let's just say, when they refer to freedom, they're referring to freedom from God in our society. Freedom from obedience, freedom from God, freedom from virtue. They, unfortunately, are slaves to sin, slaves to the devil. This is what most people refer to as freedom nowadays. St. Peter is referring to freedom from sin. Free, that's what he means by freedom. So he says, live as free men, yet not using your freedom as a cloak for malice, but as servants of God. Do you know who St. Peter is talking about here? He's talking about the born-again Christians. And we're not joking. This is who he's referring to. Because he had them, believe it or not, in his day. Because there were people, and we shouldn't be surprised, who were saying the same thing as the born-again Christians. And we have heard them say it with these ears, because we have asked them. These are devout Protestants. Seriously devout Protestants. And we have asked them specifically if they will be going to heaven despite their serious sins, even if they haven't made an act of contrition. Will they still be saved? Because as you know, we're all saved. Maybe not Catholics, but everybody's saved as long as he has accepted Christ. You know that. And we have asked them, even if you haven't had an opportunity to make an act of contrition, will you be saved after you've committed a serious sin? Answer is always yes. Now, not all Protestants believe this. They are not suggesting that. Some of them do. Well, it has nothing to do with having a brain. Some of them do have good hearts. And so they realize that they will be damned for their sins if they're not sorry for them. But born again, that's what they're referred to as, born again Christians believe that they will be saved no matter what. And that is exactly what St. Peter is referring to. He had them in his day. And that's what he's saying. Do not use your freedom, the fact that you've been baptized and that you are free from sin in that sense, as a cloak for malice. Because these people in St. Peter's day believed that they could do anything they pleased as long as they were Christians. And St. Peter says, honor all men. So no matter who it is, always honor him. Love the brotherhood. That's fellow Catholics. So, especially should you love each other. Even if you don't like each other, you should love each other. Because you are Catholics. Fear God. Honor the king. He said this especially because the emperor, that's who he's referring to, emperor at that time, the emperor, needless to say, was killing Christians, Catholics, by the thousands during all of this time. And he, St. Peter says, you honor him because he represents God. So even we have to honor our king, our ruler. Servants, be subject to your masters in all fear, not only to the good and moderate, but also to the severe. So be subject to your masters. Now, once again, this epistle is to us, and so who are your masters? We've already mentioned that your masters are your neighbors. Be subject to them. This is similar to what we have already mentioned to you in obedience. It's St. Peter is simply referring to another related virtue, and that is meekness. And we all know our model of meekness is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Learn of me, for I am meek and humble of heart, he says. Those are the virtues that Christ likes to say that he has, meekness and humility. So he's our great model. Be subject to all men, to your masters. Be meek. Our other model of meekness, of course, all of the martyrs were meek. They were not martyrs because they were tough. They were martyrs because they were meek. You can't be a martyr unless you're receiving a very special grace from God. And it's primarily this virtue, meekness. We can give you so many examples of the meekness of the saints. Ones that you've already heard of, like St. Philip Benizi, when he is requesting alms, and this man who later became a saint, St. Peregrine, slapped St. Philip Benizi, knocked him down. And St. Philip, you remember, said, "That was for me. What do you have as an alms to give to the poor?" And this man was converted immediately because of this great saint's meekness. But our other model of meekness after our Lord and Savior is, as you may recall, St. Francis de Sales. Because he was a victim of terrible anger. He's one of the most angry men. And that's, we see here, one of the great differences between the saints and you and me. We may be able to control our vices to some extent, but the saints turned their vices around and made it the exact opposite. So the greatest, most impure of all the saints practiced the greatest purity. And we see this with St. Francis. His anger, he turned around and made himself one of the greatest models of meekness ever. And so you remember us telling you in the past that if you wanted to become St. Francis de Sales' friends, all you had to do was offend him, and he was your friend for life. St. Vincent de Paul, who knew St. Francis, said that St. Francis was the kindest man he had ever known in his whole life. So he almost always had a smile on his face. Said his countenance was beaming with charity. And that he had, this is what St. Vincent de Paul said about St. Francis, said he had the likeness of Jesus Christ. Looked like Jesus. Imagine someone saying that about you. Wouldn't that be beautiful? And that is what St. Peter is talking about in the day of visitation, by your example, that they would be converted and save their souls because of your example of meekness. St. Francis de Sales said we should practice this virtue all the time, no matter what. And he said that this practice of the virtue, he said he called it the virtue of virtues. And he said, there is no other virtue, there's nothing in the world that produces edification. No other virtue that produces edification as much as the practice of meekness. Imagine that. And that's why we said to you that the martyrs practice this virtue in a way more than any other, because who is not inspired and edified by the martyrs? It's not because they were strong. It's because they were meek and humble. And so, as hard as it may be to believe, we are nearing the end of our time here. We had many important things to say to you, but we just want to say one last thing. Practice of meekness and humility comes first of all. I know this sounds like modern speak, but we will explain ourselves. Practice this virtue, these virtues of meekness and humility, first of all with yourselves. And we mean this. When do we become the most angry and upset with ourselves? After we have fallen, right? Isn't that when we really hate ourselves? And the saints tell us that when we act like this, when we are disturbed, upset, discouraged, after we have committed a sin, saints tell us that is worse than the sin. Do not make the mistake of being angry with yourselves after you have committed the sin. First thing you do is make an act of contrition, and bam, you're God's friend again. And the second thing, your second act, after you've made an act of contrition, is to thank God for that sin. Because he's the one who let you fall. Because the saints tell us the perfection. This is what we're after, isn't it? Perfection is learned from imperfection. That's how we become perfect, by falling. Saint Gregory the Great, who used to be in our vestibule, and now he's in our classroom, he said the greatest perfection is the knowledge of our imperfection. Another word, another way of saying humility. So don't make the mistake of being upset with yourselves when you fall. It's all part of the plan. Pick yourselves up immediately. Start praying. This is how we practice virtue, by praying to God, because we can't practice virtue, you and I. We have no virtue. Everything that the saints had came directly from God at every moment because of their prayers. Prayer is essential for any virtue. And if you don't pray, you will certainly be condemned. So there you have it once again. Prayer is all important. You're out of time. May God bless you.